And a pleasant good Monday morning from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios. You're listening to Inside Agriculture on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, Ag News 890, Lisbon and Fargo, as well as Farm and Country, Thunder 106.1, Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. Well, an Illinois congressman and House Agriculture Committee member says talks between the Clinton campaign and the California Air Resources Board raise new doubts about a Clinton administration's commitment to the renewable fuel standard. Now, the RFS is the holy grail of Midwest agriculture, and Hillary Clinton's campaign admits it's been talking to the California Air Resources Board on ways to improve the RFS. Well, Republican Rodney Davis has lots of struggling corn farmers in his East Central Illinois district and complains this is not a good time to be talking to California regulators about changing the RFS.
You know, we went from a very insecure position of fuels and fuel security in this country to one that's much more secure on our homeland, and that's because of the RFS. I support the RFS. I think we should abide by what is law.
Davis says to do otherwise only invites further problems for farmers and the Clinton campaign.
And the question I would ask them, what are they going to do with the billions of bushels of corn that are now selling for very low prices when there's no marketplace when it comes to homegrown fuels?
California's low carbon fuel standard leaves it up to companies how to reach a carbon reduction target. And Davis says any movement away from the RFS will only hurt one of the bright spots in the U.S. economy. The campaign says Clinton just wants to get the RFS back on track and promote more use of advanced biofuels. Well, it isn't broken, and we don't need it fixed. While U.S. farmers spent far less on agriculture production in 2015 compared to 2014, that according to the Department of Agriculture's National Ag Statistics Service, a new report shows farmers spent $362.8 billion in agricultural production in 2015. That's down 8.8% from 2014, reversing a long-term trend of growing costs. Feed and Farm Services, the two largest expenditure categories for U.S. farmers in 2014, both declined 8.2% last year. Producers spent $58.5 billion in animal feed and $41.6 billion on farm services in 2015. One of only two expenditure categories that increased last year was livestock, poultry, and related expenses, on which the producers spent $45.4 billion last year. That's an increase of 0.7% from 2014. Well, we're going to take a break here. However, when we do come back, we're going to talk the EPA, and what we're going to talk about is atrazine. That's coming up next. As we continue on with what's going on inside agriculture from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, as we mentioned before we took the break, a recent Environmental Protection Agency draft report on atrazine ignores a large body of scientific evidence affirming the herbicide's safety. That according to the National Corn Growers Association. Now, the ecological risk assessment for atrazine, which is one step of the re-registration process all pesticides face every 15 years, relies on studies the EPA's own science advisory panel deemed flawed in 2012. Brent Hostetler is a farmer from Plain City, Ohio, and chair of the NCGA's Production and Stewardship Action Team. He says the recent EPA action is setting a dangerous precedent for all crop protection tools.
Every pesticide has to be re-reviewed, and it's not uncommon. However, this one is uncommon because they're basically going against what their own scientists have said before and kind of changing the rules during the process.
Now, in the report, EPA recommends an aquatic life level of concern be set at 3.4 parts per billion on a 60-day average. EPA's current level for atrazine is 10 parts per billion. However, Scientific evidence points to safe aquatic life levels of 25 parts per billion or greater.
Over 7,000 studies over 55 years, it's been proven safe. And if any other crop protection product that we're going to use has to stand up to the same science, so to speak, we lose a lot of them. It's not right. As a producer, I think we need to be concerned and take action here. And it comes back to the EPA not believing their own science, basically caving into environmental groups, and we all know what their agenda is.
Now, farmers were to lose atrazine as a crop protection tool. Hostetler says farmers will have to spend more to grow a crop, and that could be passed along to the consumer.
Atrazine is just one of the many tools in the toolbox, so to speak, and ultimately, if we lose atrazine, it's going to mean more dollars per acre that I have to spend. And in the current climate with sub 350 corn, and you know, maybe less, that's the last thing we need. It's difficult to be profitable now, and anything else, you know, losing an important tool like atrazine would not be helpful.
Now, he says farmers need to take action and voice their concerns to the EPA.
Personally, it's frustrating when it seems to me that the EPA has changed the rules in the middle of the game and not listening to their own scientists. And we need to chime in on the comment period they're having. I believe it ends October 4th. One way you can do that is we have a website, bodyepa.com, and tell the EPA what it means on your farm and how important of a tool it is.
And again, that website to submit your comments is to the EPA is www.fightepa.com. That's www.fightepa.com. Well, Bayer Ag is examining all points of Monsanto, including financial accounts, in an effort to acquire the St. Louis, Missouri-based company. Bloomberg reports the move could pave the way for the German company to raise its takeover offer for Monsanto. Bayer has signed confidentiality agreements to conduct due diligence on Monsanto, a process that's expected to last a few more weeks. Last month, Monsanto rejected an improved $125 per share offer by Bayer, describing it as financially inadequate. In a statement, Monsanto said the company remained open to conversations but never indicated a willingness to allow Bayer to conduct the due diligence. Bayer requested the move previously as a prerequisite to increasing its offer. Buying Monsanto would give Bayer the largest seed supplier and a pioneer of crop biotechnology and create the world's largest producer of seeds and pesticides. Well, a processing company in Iowa last week launched a new line of pork products under the brand name Haluka that addresses consumer concerns around animal welfare and clean label foods. Well, Meeting Place reports Beeler's Incorporated non-GMO marketed pork is derived from sows housed in deep-bedded pens as opposed to gestation stalls, and the animals are fed vegetarian non-GMO diets as certified by the Non-GMO Project. They're also raised without being administered any antibiotics and are not fed ractopamine, that according to the processing company. Beeler's is a sixth-generation family operation with nationwide distribution. The Haluka brand pork will be available through select retailers as well as restaurants. Also, the U.S. Grains Council says key members of Japan's media traveled across the United States last week to learn about corn production, ethanol, and biotechnology. The members of Japan's media came to learn how those topics fit into making U.S. farms sustainable. The tour started in St. Louis, where the team visited Monsanto to learn about the company's effort to improve the productivity and sustainability of crop production. From there, the reporters traveled through Illinois, visiting with farmers in the Illinois Corn Marketing Board to better understand how farmers are adopting technologies. We'll be back with more right after this. Well, quality-minded cattle producers are invited to mark their calendars for the Angus Convention, November 5th through the 7th in Indianapolis, Indiana. Now, the third annual event hosted by the American Angus Association will include an expansive trade show, world-renowned keynote speakers, and hands-on learning to take back to the farmer ranch. Angus Media's Becky Wershire explains why this is a convention you really don't want to miss.
Indiana is really the crossroads of the cattle business when we look at the Corn Belt and how rich it is in farmers and agriculture in that part of the world. We're excited to be in Indianapolis because there are so many areas of the country that can be there with either a short drive or a quick airline flight there.
And the early registration price is $75, is available until August 31st, which guarantees access to the Convention Education and Speakers Trade Show with more than 140 exhibitors, 4 certified Angus beef brand meals, and a Sawyer Brown concert.
No matter who you are, whether you're a registered seed stock producer, cow-calf producer, stocker, background, or feed yard professional, anyone that is in the cattle business and is interested in quality beef, we really invite you to attend the Angus Convention.
And what lucky attendees going to be awarded this grand prize?
Prefert and True Test Scales have partnered together to provide our grand prize giveaway for this year's Angus Convention. And one lucky convention participant on Monday, November 7th, will be able to take home a complete cattle handling system. So we're just really excited to partner with Prefert and True Test to provide such a great giveaway for one of our Angus Convention participants.
Now visit angusconvention.com to register and make your hotel reservations for the 2016 Angus Convention. Now while you're on that site, you can also see a schedule of events, speaker bios, and what's in store for the event in Indianapolis coming up this November. All right, we're going to take a break here. However, when we come back, we're going to talk hogs. As a matter of fact, the advantages, and you can be a real pig farming aficionado. As a matter of fact, we'll talk about that next. Well, as we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture on this Monday, this is a busy time for fairs and livestock shows. Now, the Pork Checkoff is highlighting this experience in social media. Pork Checkoff Director of Public Relations, Claire Masker, is looking for those fair stories.
You know, we understand that having youth show pigs is a great opportunity for them not to learn, you know, for future pig farmers to learn more about how you take care of pigs. But also, even if those youth showmen don't become pig farmers, they're also future consumers that can help share our story. We also know there's a lot of life lessons that are learned by raising pigs and in the show ring. So we want everyone that has had shown pigs in their life to share kind of their fair story or their showing story. And just they can do that by posting on our Facebook page or using the hashtag. We're going to compile those and kind of create a blog post and some other social content and share it out later this month on just what we've learned in the show ring, that all of us have learned in the show ring and have been in the show ring, know those life lessons that were learned there.
And if you look for the hashtag Real Pig Farming on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and for those sharing their story, there's an opportunity to win a fun prize.
So we'll kind of go through and pick kind of our favorite posts, and there's a Real Pig Farming Back to School prize. So there's some Real Pig Farming swag in it for a couple people if they share their story.
And again, Claire Masker, Pork Checkoff Director of Public Relations. Well, a new study shows California's wine and wine grape industry contributed $57.6 billion to the state's economy and $114.1 billion to the U.S. economy in 2015. The study commissioned by the Wine Institute and California Association of Wine Grape Growers measures the sector's economic impact regarding employment, wages, taxes, tourism spending, and visits. Wine Institute CEO Robert Koch says California wine is an economic engine for our nation. The report shows growth of 17% in statewide impact from $49.2 to $57.6 billion and 19% in national impact from $96 billion to $114.1 billion in the past 7 years. The report goes on to say the strong growth during a period that started with a Great Recession continued with slow recovery shows the strength and resiliency of the nation's number one wine-producing state as a positive economic force across the nation. There it is. That's what's happening inside agriculture on this Monday. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.